production, WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Blowback from President Trump's decision to blow up boats off Venezuela, send covert CIA operatives into that country, and possibly carry out military strikes. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
Venezuela's foreign ministry saying this type of maneuver aims to legitimize a regime change operation as its ultimate goal of having access to Venezuelan oil resources. It comes after the U.S. carried out its fifth deadly strike on an alleged drug smuggling boat off Venezuela.
Dozens of Pentagon reporters turned in their badges yesterday rather than agree to clear their stories with the government. Video verified by ABC News appears to show Hamas-linked gunmen carrying out a public execution of Gazans they suspect of helping Israel. As for the hostages, Hamas says right now there are no more remains to turn over. More than 130 students are quarantined in South Carolina in a measles outbreak. At one school, only 17% of students were vaccinated. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Week 42 of the 2025 movie season is at hand and with some nice choices. First up, what do you get when you cross a venture capitalist, a gig worker, and an inept angel? A comedy drama called Good Fortune, starring Keanu Reeves, Seth Rogen, and Aziz Ansari. The film is drawing good reviews so far, and it's nice to see another comedy in the theaters. After the Hunt, starring Julia Roberts, opened in a limited release last week and goes wide this week. Reviews are just so-so for this crime drama. Black Phone 2 hits the big screen to pretty good reviews for this horror film starring Ethan Hawke and Madeline McGraw. The film is pulling roughly the same fresh rating as the first Black Phone at around 80%. Opening in semi-wide release are two dramas. The first is Urchin, starring Fear the Walking Dead alum Frank Delane, who plays an addict living on the streets of London searching for redemption. Truth and Treason is a German historical drama about a teenager in a moral dilemma as he tries to avoid the Gestapo. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game three tonight with the Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS after losing the first two games in Milwaukee. Do the Brewers have a chance to turn this thing around? Manager Pat Murphy.
You guys might have us counted out, and I understand that. 90% of the teams that have been in this situation don't win the series. But this team has been counted out a lot this year, and I think there's some fight left in them, and it'll be a little tougher path doing it on the road, but we swept the Dodgers early in the year on the road, and so at least there's some capability. I know the Dodgers weren't the same team then, but, you know, 10 times this year we've won four in a row, so that's also a possibility.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next Wednesday in Milwaukee. How do they look on defense?
I think we have to have a hell of a week, personally. I think we are average at best right now. I think we've taken a step back a little bit, and we'll get it right.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WXCO in Wausau, Wisconsin for their open house. Chad Holmes from XCO is along, as well as Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area on Politics. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny skies today, an isolated shower possible, highs in the mid-60s. A few more showers around tonight with mostly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-50s. Partly sunny, breezy, and warm on Friday with highs in the low to mid-70s. Right now, it's 51.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, I dive into the controversy over Stephen A. Smith's commentary about Jasmine Crockett. Can a sports commentator turn into a politician? I think not.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You know, I love my job. I absolutely love sharing the story of Wisconsin agriculture and all the folks in it with you. But I'll tell you what, it is a challenge. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on a Thursday morning. The challenge is that the Midwest Farm Report team, Stephanie Hoff, Ben Jarbo, Kylie Allen, do just a great job presenting all kinds of story opportunities. It's difficult to figure out what I want to share with you. So today we are going to give you a little snippet from yesterday's Farmers for Free Trade Caravan that showed up in Westby, Wisconsin. They stopped at Darren Von Ruden's farm. He is, of course, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. What's this group all about? What do they hope they're able to accomplish? That's one of the stories that's on the way. Katie Burgess, broker dairy analyst with EverAg out of the Madison area, going to be talking with us this morning on how traders are viewing the markets, minus all the USDA data that's so critical. That's another story that's on the way. And we're also talking a little bit about the harvest season. Not corn and soybeans necessarily, but what about your garden? A couple tips on canning and preserving safety that you don't want to lose sight on. Kylie Allen joining us with that. So like I said, a lot of moving parts to try to keep organized. The weather, well, that looks to be organized under cloudy skies. I thought we were going to get a little more sun today. 20% chance of showers this morning. Daytime highs today under cloudy skies, probably around 65 degrees. So a little warmer than yesterday. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Highs near 77. That looks beautiful. But then Friday night, we've got showers and thunderstorms and some rainfall amounts that could be measurable. How much? We'll find out about that with Stu Muck coming up in just moments. Just around the corner, speaking of policy, Ben Jarbo is going to join us with a conversation. Derek Van Orden from Western Wisconsin represents us in Washington, D.C., and he's got a laser eye focused on how to keep the farm bill moving forward with inaction in Washington, D.C. Ben Jarbo and Derek Van Orden coming up next.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorceed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorceed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorceed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store, flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates, or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
Labor has been an ever-growing need in the agriculture industry in recent years, and the H-2A program has been through some turmoil with making sure foreign workers can stay year-round. This led to Congressman Derek Van Orden introducing the Agriculture Reform Act of 2025. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and the representative is here to share a deeper dive into what this bill looks like.
Every farm I go to, every farm, and I try to spend as much time on farms as possible because it is truly my happy place. Everybody needs labor, and no one can find enough labor. And I asked everybody, if you had more labor, could you milk more cows? Yes. Could you process more potatoes? Yes. Could you raise more hogs? Yes. Could you process more hogs? Yes. So that's in the processing side. So everybody needs labor. And so we're just acknowledging something that, everyone knows is true, that, you know, if you deported every single person that is here working on our farms, the agriculture industry would collapse immediately, as would the hospitality industry and the construction industry. These are just facts. And so what we've done is taken a very pragmatic approach to try to make sure that we can have a consistent group of people working here, so that the guys that are and gals that are running the business know that they can run their business. And then the humanitarian aspect of this is that a lot of these folks have been here for decades, and they're our neighbors. Our kids go to school together, and you know, they're working really hard to support their family. And that's just a fact. I mean, we in government have to face, we've got to face some real simple facts, and our job is to try to make things better for people. So here's the gist. There's some very strict provisions. The only crime these folks can have committed to be eligible for this program is entering the country illegally, and that is a crime. So if they've committed any other crimes, they're not eligible for this program. They're going to have to go onto an app. We want to get a button on the CBP One app, because right now there's a button you can push. You get $1,000 and a plane ticket home. That's self-deportation, and over 1 million folks have done that already. But you'd push a button and you'd go into a temporary protected status for a year. You're going to have to, the worker's going to have to physically leave the United States and enter through a legal port of entry. And the message is going to be very clear. If you're going to work in this country, or if you want to move to this country, you're going to do it legally. End of story. They're going to have to pay a fine. And the reason they have to pay a fine is because they broke the law. And if you get a speeding ticket, you pay a fine, right? Same concept. The employer is also going to have to pay a fine, because the employers know that these folks are here unlawfully. They do. And so that's really the basic gist. Now, I want to be crystal clear. This is not amnesty. And it's not a pathway to citizenship other than how any other person would become a citizen. Because once you come back into the country lawfully, if you want to be a citizen, you've got to get in line with everybody else. So I'll give you an example. Let's say I've been working here for 50 years on a dairy farm, and I get enrolled in this program. I leave the country. Someone steps into the country for the first time, never been here. They got here 5 seconds before me. Guess what? They're in the head of the line. I am not. You're not skipping any lines here. And I think this is about an 80% solution. It's been solicited around. I introduced it a couple of weeks ago. It's getting very, very positive feedback in Congress. And we're discussing this with some folks in the administration. And how I would like to see this sequenced, if we can get it done, is I'd like to see some immediate executive action taken by the Trump administration based off of this legislation, and then have the legislation pass through the House and the Senate and get signed into law. That's what we're looking at doing. And everybody I'm talking to in the agriculture industry is very excited about this. And if we can use this as a template for, you know, construction and hospitality, that's a good thing too.
I mean, obviously, one of the things that might perk up some of our producers' ears that would use this is that fine talk. Do you have any idea how much that fine would be at all at this current moment?
Maybe $2,500 to $5,000. But listen, they're hiring people illegally. That is unlawful. It's period. So there has to be consequences for breaking the law. We also have to understand that gravity's real. Rocks are heavy and trees are made of wood. This is the hand that we've been dealt, and we've got to play it the best way possible. But here's the other thing. If producers don't want to do this, and these people get deported, if you get deported from the United States, you can never lawfully enter the country again. Like, that worker is gone forever if they don't enroll them in some type of program. That's reality. So, you know, how the government works is we're going to write legislation. Well, the legislation is already written. And then when legislation passes, it goes over to the executive branch, and they assign rules. So what the fine is specifically really leaving up to the Department of Labor. That would be the Secretary of Labor. How long they have to leave the country, that will be up to the Secretary of Labor also.
And the other day when you're talking, you said that this would be a faster turnaround than what we are currently seeing for.
Oh, dear Lord. Yo, listen, man, last Congress, I volunteered to be on the Agriculture Labor Working Group. And we came up with like 26 bipartisan recommendations. But the H-2A program is broken so bad, it's impossible to fix in my lifetime. It takes too long. It's only good for 1 year. It's only for seasonal stuff. Well, guess what? They raise almonds year round. And down in Texas, they get 7 cuttings down on the border of alfalfa. Now, granted, our alfalfa is way better. I'm just going to say that. Hopefully no one from Texas is listening. But we need to have these folks here year round. And it's also, it's not just the person raising the hog or out, you know, working in a field. It's also the agriculture adjacent people. Because when you go to the grocery store, you don't buy a hog. You buy a pork chop. Well, that went through a processing facility. So what we're doing is we're trying to get real solutions in real time. And H-2A is broken. So we're just pretending like it doesn't exist. Another good thing in this provision is it's good for 3 years, not one. And you're going to have to recertify probably every year, the first year for that, the 3 year period of time, just to make sure nothing's going hanky, but it's good for 3 years. In other words, you do a one-time fee for 3 years instead of a fee every year to get the same person back that's been working on your farm for 35 years. We're just taking a real practical. I mean, this is what, if I was a farmer, this is what I would do. It's a practical, no nonsense, not flashy, you know, no bells and whistles and stuff, but it's going to make sure that we have a stable labor pool and that the people that have been working here that are our neighbors, that the only crime they've committed is entering the country illegally, that they're treated in a humane way. These are people.
Yeah. And another aspect you mentioned the other day as well is that if a farm has a lot of these employees, a lot of these people working, they can kind of go in shifts doing this, right?
Right. So the reason that you go into a 1 year protected status is because if you have, let's just say, 50 people working on a dairy farm and they all have to leave the country, if all 50 of them left at the same time, the cow's going to keep milking. Do you understand what I'm saying? The hog is going to keep growing. So it's going to be a management issue for individual farms to rotate these people in and out of the country so that they can maintain their production capacity. It's a management issue.
Congressman Van Orden says that currently with the government shutdown, there is no set time for when this would go into place, but they will work to get it out as soon as possible. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. North Carolina already has an F grade from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project for having extremely uncompetitive voting districts. Nonetheless, its state House Speaker announced October 13th the legislature would gerrymander another GOP congressional seat before the 2026 midterms. It's the latest GOP attempt to cling to power in the U.S. House. In a social media post, North Carolina House Speaker Destin Hall said, "We will stand with the president, defend the GOP majority, and secure an additional Republican House seat," unquote, after an agreement was reached between House and Senate leadership, according to North Carolina Newsline. The state has a Democratic governor, and Trump won North Carolina over Harris by a narrow margin, 50.9% to 47.6%. Yet, currently, the GOP holds 10 of 14 of North Carolina's U.S. House seats. But Speaker Hall noted in his post, quote, "POTUS's victory sent a clear message. The voters are with him." GOP efforts in Texas, Missouri, and Utah have been challenged in the courts, but the GOP holds a 5-2 majority in the North Carolina Supreme Court, and its decisions have favored the legislature in recent years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that federal courts have no role in partisan gerrymandering disputes. Action on a new congressional district map will begin the week of October 20th. We have local reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a very important case before the Supreme Court. Will they gut what remains of the Voting Rights Act? Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Rain event. Kick you out of the fields for certain for a day. That's not been happening. It's kind of cut the line, though. People are still spread manure, but not necessarily going at it as far as corn and soybean combines.
Yeah, I think we've got just enough moisture, you know, the additional moisture and rain that's on the crop standing. We can't quite run it through the machine, but oh well, yeah, we can clean out the barn and the pit, that's for sure.
And well, and that's really important that we use as much time as we can. What is it here already? The 16th of October, we want to get it done. So today, again, more rain in the forecast, rain possibly tonight into Friday. Are we going to see this add up?
Well, you know, again, another couple of tents here and a couple of tents there, slowly and surely with several chances of rain as we make our way through today and on into the weekend, I think we'll start to add up. And it's quite possible we could start to talk about heavier amounts, especially Saturday night when rain may finally start to turn into something upwards of a half inch or more could be seen. We start out today with that warm front still trying to build up out of the southwest, southern South Dakota back into Iowa, northern Missouri. The radar indicating scattered showers, especially rain in North Dakota, north central South Dakota, but very scattered activity from Minnesota into western Wisconsin, right along the Mississippi and just a bit further in. That's about the only place rain is in western Wisconsin this morning. That may finally start to spread in, not amounting to much yet today or tonight, but quite likely in the weekend we see more rain and more that may actually add up in the rain gauge. I'll have forecast details after this.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility?
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone. Kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, that little rain in the west this morning, spreading east during the day, just not going to amount to a great deal. More clouds around. Oh, and I expect we should be up to around 60 in the north and mid-60s south. Southeast winds about 5 to 10. Still some rain chance early with clouds, a little clearing later in the night. We don't cool down too far. Very low 50s north, mid-50s in the south with the southeast breezes. And tomorrow could actually be a little sunshine trying to break through. Sure, some rain later in the day in the west already, but pushing into the 70s, low 70s, even upper 70s in the south. Rain a little more likely Friday night. Lasts into Saturday. Later Saturday, Pam, is when rain may actually start to add up. Saturday night, Sunday, when we could have some amounts to really brag about come Monday.
Oh, that's an outlook that we can kind of look forward to. I mean, everybody says the same thing. We may not necessarily like the timing, but we sure do need the rain.
Yeah, we need the moisture, and unfortunately, at least two or three chances until we make our way to the end of the weekend, and next week should start a little drier.
Hey, with the federal government shutdown, are you still guys getting the drought monitor?
I haven't seen it since it shut down.
Well, look into that. Talk to me about it tomorrow, okay?
I'll tell you that they're not putting it out.
Okay. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us with your weather details on the Midwest Farm Report. We've got Katie Burgess with EverEgg on the way this morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of The Todd Alba Show, an interview with UW-Madison's Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager, James Small.
So what is the mission of this relatively new program?
Most of my work is done with local government. So our goal of the program is to work on reliability and sustainability of the EMS response system itself. So a lot of that depends on funding from local government. It depends on organizational structure of the systems. We're not doing anything with patient care or system quality at all. There's other excellent training providers to provide that training. But where the gap really existed was to work with these local governments, particularly the small local governments that don't have the resources, to help walk them through that process, whether it's how do you increase funding, how do you maybe take your two volunteer ambulances and push them together and create one full-time ambulance and split the cost between the two communities. A lot of those kind of discussions.
What's the biggest challenge for these municipalities? And the second part of that, what's the cause in your opinion?
I'm not sure on the cause. I think that we've seen a decline nationwide in the availability of EMS services, particularly with volunteer services, that there's just a decline in availability of volunteers. I don't think that there's a lack of people wanting to go into it. Our licensing data is pretty consistent going back over a decade that at any given point we have about 18,000 people that have licenses in the state. What we do see is that about 7.5% of them are leaving the field every year and turning in their license. Maintaining a workforce, when you think about that, every 12 years we have to train the equivalent of the entire workforce, that's problematic. And then as we've seen the costs increase, that becomes very challenging, I think, for the particularly for the small municipalities to make that lift and look use the tools that are available to create the finances that are necessary to pay for things, because they may be going from a volunteer staff member to a full-time staff member, which is considerably more expensive. And then we also have like hyperinflation in this space, whether it's on capital equipment. Personnel costs are outpacing CPI by 2 to 3-fold going back almost 10 years. So, you know, all at once, where a few years ago you might have been hiring a full-timer for $50,000 a year, that position might be 80 or 90 now.
Wow.
So it's gotten really, really expensive, really, really fast. You know, when it was a volunteer system in the 80s, when a lot of these systems really came of age, there wasn't 911 yet. So the amount of, the access of the system had a barrier in it, which 911 is erased, having that capacity to handle these increases too. Because if you look at some of these systems, you know, if they formed back in the early 70s, they might have done like a dozen calls that first year. That same system might be doing like a couple thousand now.
Really?
And you're trying to do it with the same base that you built it off of these volunteers that came in that wanted to come help the community. And they needed a first aid card and a CPR card because there wasn't even EMS licensing yet. For now, it's a couple hundred hours of training to get in the door.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Blowback from President Trump's decision to blow up boats off Venezuela, send covert CIA operatives into that country, and possibly carry out military strikes. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
Venezuela's foreign ministry saying this type of maneuver aims to legitimize a regime change operation as its ultimate goal of having access to Venezuelan oil resources. It comes after the U.S. carried out its fifth deadly strike on an alleged drug smuggling boat off Venezuela.
Dozens of Pentagon reporters turned in their badges yesterday rather than agree to clear their stories with the government. Video verified by ABC News appears to show Hamas-linked gunmen carrying out a public execution of Gazans they suspect of helping Israel. As for the hostages, Hamas says right now there are no more remains to turn over. More than 130 students are quarantined in South Carolina in a measles outbreak. At one school, only 17% of students were vaccinated. This is ABC News.
Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game three tonight with the Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS after losing the first two games in Milwaukee. Do the Brewers have a chance to turn this thing around? Manager Pat Murphy.
You guys might have us counted out, and I understand that.
90% of the teams that have been in this situation don't win the series. But this team has been counted out a lot this year, and I think there's some fight left in them, and it'll be a little tougher path doing it on the road, but we swept the Dodgers early in the year on the road, and so at least there's some capability. I know the Dodgers weren't the same team then, but, you know, 10 times this year we've won four in a row, so that's also a possibility.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next Wednesday in Milwaukee. How do they look on defense?
I think we have to have a hell of a week, personally. I think we are average at best right now. I think we've taken a step back a little bit, and we'll get it right.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee actress and filmmaker Cara Mulrooney makes the popcorn pick of the week. Then Dan Hess of Old World Wisconsin joins me to discuss a big upcoming event. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS. Oshkosh and Appleton.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny skies today, an isolated shower possible, highs in the mid-60s. A few more showers around tonight with mostly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-50s. Partly sunny, breezy, and warm on Friday with highs in the low to mid-70s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Matt and Air on Air.
How are our dairy farmers doing?
So Dad Cap's latest numbers showed that we're down to just a little bit over 5,200 dairy farms. Back in 1986, when I graduated from high school, we had 44,800 and something dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin. And so today, now with that information coming out, we've dropped a lot faster than I thought we would. Back in the late 90s, I did some work on dairy pricing reform and tried to get a system in that would hopefully keep more smaller farms in business, and have not succeeded in that yet. And so, you know, we're looking at that number, you know, continuing to dwindle. You know, so next year, by the time my 40-year graduation date is, I'm pretty sure we're going to be under 5,000 dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin, because we're still losing one and a half a day. Since 2020, we've lost 25% of the dairy farms here in the state. And, you know, that just, you know, it's disheartening. Really, it should be looking at a national security issue for a couple different reasons. Number one, because diversity is always the best way to have a food system. If you get too congregated, it really puts the whole system at stake. And, you know, number two, we just have to make sure that we have a high quality workforce. We're losing those generations of high quality workers.
I guess the question, and something we always talk about, Darren, on the show, whether it's with you or with other farmers or just in general when we're discussing this topic, is the government's role in working with the farmers and the farming industry. What is, in your mind, and I don't even want to say a perfect world, but what does the government do in your version that helps sustain the amount of farmers, grow them, or at least take care of them to the place where they're not having to worry every single day about shutting down? What do you want to see from the government as far as partnership? What do they need to do?
So number one thing is make sure that there's a fair market. Looking at what's going on across the country with the very uncompetitive markets that we see, because we can't sell our products into a market that's not being manipulated by big business at this point. It's been that way for decades already. It's just getting worse because we have less players there. Number two, making sure that farmers get a plus production for the products that they produce so that they can stay in business and that, you know, new farmers can actually come into the business too. Or number three, stop handing out government checks to the largest farms that prices at an amount that's way above what should be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
It's always something. 1670 AM.
Dairy markets have been holding on by the skin of their teeth, but some of that is because we're not getting all the information from USDA that we traditionally would. We've got a milk production report that's due out on the 20th, but it doesn't look like the federal government will have its wheels moving by then. What does this mean to the trade? What does this mean to dairy farmers? We're going to talk about that and many more things with Katie Burgess. She's one of the dairy analysts joining us on a Thursday morning with EverAg. So glad you're along with us. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on this, the 16th day of October. Oh, my goodness. We're already so far into the month of October, huh? What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1968, the Milwaukee Bucks played their very first game. It was their first season in Milwaukee. They started it off with a loss to the Chicago Bulls, but it signaled the first time that Milwaukee was kind of back in the action when it came to basketball. Happened on this day back in 1968. Some happy birthdays for you this morning. Happy birthday to actor Tim Robbins, 67 years young today. And now you know. But do you know all that fresh produce that you gathered from that garden this year? Do you know how to safely save it so that you and your family can enjoy it? Heaven forbid you decide that you're going to give it as a gift to family. You need to make sure that you're processing it safely. Kylie Allen is up to her elbows in fresh produce and stories about what you need to be aware of if you want to keep it.
It's a form of food preservation that was developed by a contest held by Napoleon. Heather Quackenboss is the Extension Human Development and Relationship Educator. She gives us a few tips and tricks that we need to know to ensure that our canned food is both delicious and safe.
So it's going to depend on what you're canning. Hot water bath is really well good for fruits, for high acid foods, peaches, jams. You can do pickles because that vinegar is that acid in there. Anything that's a basic food, you are going to want a pressure canner. Now, some folks are like, oh, I can just use my pressure cooker or, oh, my Instant Pot. And we can't do that. We need that canner rather than cooker if we're going to do something with pressure.
And what's different between maybe a pressure cooker and a pressure canner?
Pressure canner is actually built to have all of those jars in there. It's built to withstand more heat, more pressure, and that way we can do things like canning our meat or canning our beans or things like that. A pressure cooker is just going to cook the food. So it's going to take your whole chicken and make your chicken really a whole lot faster when you get home than putting it in the oven would.
And if I'm using a pressure canner, is there any safety concerns I need to be concerned about?
You know, we are all very terrified of the pressure canner. It hisses, it rattles, it makes noise. I always thought it was going to go through the roof when I was a kid. And pressure canners have a lot of safety features on them now. Pre-1970s, there were stories of pressure canners that went through your ceiling. But now they have a lot of vents that if it does get a little too high pressure, they do vent out. What we just need to make sure we do is follow the directions for that pressure canner. And if you have a chance to can with a friend or a person who's done it before, that second time canning will be a whole lot more comfortable. The last thing is if you do have a pressure canner and maybe you got it from grandma's basement, maybe it's been kicking around your basement. If it's a dial gauge that has that gauge on it where it reads the numbers, you can bring that to some of our extension offices and we can test that dial gauge for you to make sure that it's accurate. So if it says you need to can this at 11 pounds of pressure, you know that it's 11 pounds of pressure.
And let's say maybe I'm trying to preserve something that is a more basic food. I don't have maybe a pressure canner. Is there any other way that I can still safely preserve it?
Unfortunately, no. I did have a call once. A woman really, really wanted to pressure can or to hot water bath her carrots, and it's not safe. I mean, food safety, science-wise, it's just not safe. Those carrots are not going to get hot enough to kill all of the bacteria that are in them. So for basic foods, a pressure canner is the only safe.